Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Inning. Now, here's your host, Dominic Catronio.
We're up late. We are rolling along as the Brewers get back on track against the worst team in the American League. Keep putting the hay in the barn. Monday is fast approaching. Less than 72 hours remain until the trade deadline. The Brewers win today 6-2. They're back to 27 games above 500. They're back to 6.5 up on the Chicago Cubs, who lost earlier today. And the Dodgers are currently trailing 8-4 to the Red Sox, so they can gain a game on LA. Of course, these two teams meet in 2 weeks' time in Chavez Ravine. But today, 6-2, let's get a disclaimer out of the way. I'm not disappointed that they lost. I'm flying solo tonight, by the way. If you're staying up late with us or if you're catching it in the podcast feed, no big deal. Brewers All Access. If you don't want to stay up late, it's no big deal. These always pop up for your post-game shows all weekend long. Brewers All Access, wherever you get your podcasts. So let me get this out of the way. The Brewers won the game. I'm not trying to, you know, get frustrated or complain too much. They won the game, right? They did what they were supposed to do. They won the game. But I think a lot of people watched that game. They had some bad luck, right? They hit the ball hard, 7 outs of at least 100 miles an hour or more. I mean, they were hitting the ball hard, right? But you look a little deeper, and you're like 2-for-17 with runners in scoring position. And of those two, the two hits with runners in scoring position, mind you, they were homers. Or sorry, only one of them was a homer. Terang hit it with a man on first. But Bowers, a three-run homer in the fifth inning. The only other hit with a runner in scoring position was in the second inning when Cooper Pratt blooped a single and left. At that point, the Brewers were 0-for-5 with runners in scoring position because they started the game with Terang getting on a second, failed to move him from there. Then it was Cooper saving the day in the ninth spot coming through. Look, the Brewers' offense looked fine today. Bryce Terang, I'm going to have a whole segment on him. But there are still little moments where I'm watching Bowers and I'm watching Mitchell. Are they going 2-for-4 every night because they're hitting 5th and 6th? Or are they going 2-for-4 in spite of hitting 5th and 6th? Yelly hit a few balls hard today. I know people may hear that and say, wow, the bar is really low. But for Churio 1-for-5 with a soft single and 3 strikeouts. He was the only guy who really had a fits today offensively. And I tweeted this earlier, and I'll repeat it here. I know the Brewers just had an off day, and I know they're beginning 17 in a row. You're probably not going to get another chance to do this with Jackson Churio. I might sit him for the rest of the weekend. Something's wrong mentally. Something's off with his timing. Something's off with his pitch recognition. He has not been the same for almost a month now. Now, granted, you look at it, and he gets hits every other day, but you look a little deeper. It's a really light 240 over. This is not the guy that the Brewers are looking for. Is it a little mental reset? It's not a body reset. To me, it's a mental. Pressing harder. How many times have we seen Jackson take that massive daddy hack on an 0-1 hanging slider and then foul it off or just miss it? Then it gives you that, ooh, I just missed it. Like, but you're not supposed to just miss those. When you swing in yourself, when you swing up the middle into, you know, to the gaps where your power is, I'm going to say something kind of crazy. Churio doesn't have pull side pop. Churio has dead center pop, letting the ball travel and ripping it. I don't know what he's on or what he's trying to figure out. I just see, and again, I'm not trying to complain about a 6-2 loss. Okay, or a 6-2 win. I'm sorry. I'm sounding like it's a loss. The Brewers won the game. I'm getting all that. But this should have been, quite frankly, should have been a game that was like 12-2. Given the quality of contact we saw, you could say that's bad luck, which I can listen to as well. I think that there are some things in this lineup, specifically with Churio and with Contreras. At least Contreras had another couple balls hard too. This is going to be your only weekend, your only chance to really get them off their feet coming up this week. Because like we said, the upcoming series are tough. Pittsburgh has hung with the Brewers all season long. They're going to be a tough 4-game set. Twins, they're buyers all of a sudden. They have a chance to win the opener of their series with the Mariners. Then you get the Padres, who are still alive. They shut out the Giants today. And then, of course, those Dodgers. I mean, you're not going to get another chance to really sit those guys. So I'm trying to make sure for the long run the Brewers can handle this, because the sooner Churio gets out of this slump, the better, right? Yelly has shown signs of life despite what the Twitter mongers tell you. William, okay, today was a good step in the right direction. It's been a minute since he's had a step in the right direction. But the highlights from this one, right? Mitchell, Bowers, Terang, plenty of good stuff to point out from this contest. Luis Lara looked human today. Hey, reminder, he's a 21-year-old in the big leagues, right? He's a rookie in the big leagues. It's going to happen from time to time. How about Cooper Pratt drawing two walks today? Feel for David Hamilton going 0-for-5. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But it'll be an abbreviated post-game, given I'm flying solo, we're all up late, and the Brewers won the game 6-2, and quite frankly, they kind of sleptwalked through this game. Shane Drouin pitched very well. We'll talk about him coming up next. And the pitching overall, because reinforcements arrived today, more are on the way in the form of Kyle Harrison. When does he return? Also, a little bit of trade deadline talk. Talk about that coming up on the other side of the break. Brewers win today 6-2 over the Angels on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Brewers get the dub. Never complain about wins, even though I just did. So who should you listen to? 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Same time, same place tomorrow night as the Brewers get ready for game 2 of 3 with the Angels tomorrow at 8:38. And I just want to say, to kind of put a bow on the offense as a whole, like, today was the easy day. I'm not going to lie. I know we can make fun of the Angels and their record and all this stuff. Today was the easy day. You're facing Jose Soriano tomorrow. He's been solid. He's a ground ball pitcher. The Brewers have trouble with ground ball guys. And then on Sunday, you're getting Velo. You're getting a lot of gas. Obviously, they're throwing Miz. Walbert Urania, he's one of their top guys. He's been phenomenal this year for the Angels. I mean, today was the hardest day. And maybe there's some movement. Maybe Zach Neto is on his way out. Maybe Sam Bachman is on his way out. Maybe Soriano is on his way out. The Brewers were already missing Reed Detmers in this series. Maybe they'll have him switch clubhouses. Who knows? Brewers, who's hot, who's cold? It's brought to you by Satter Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Bryce Terang. I mean, I can't wait. We're a few days away from this being, you know, 162 games. I've been using August 1st as the date, but now today was 155th game for Bryce since August 1st of last year. And I just want to read the slash line. I know I've done this a couple of times, but let me do it again for you here. A .287 batting average. And this is essentially a full season, 686 plate appearances. All right? 155 games, .376 on base, a .504 slug, an .880 OPS, 28 homers, 105 ribbies, 106 runs scored. He is the only player in the National League since August 1st of last year to have 100 RBIs and 100 runs scored. He's the only one in the National League. I want you to sit and chew on that for a second, since August 1st of last year. All right? Just because it isn't in the same calendar year doesn't mean it doesn't count for anything. It's a good marker of when Bryce started to really pop. Remember, he had the two-homer game in Washington last year and part of that 14 in a row to start the month last year. So I want you to think National League, 100 and 100. Kyle Schwarber, Shohei Ohtani. I'm thinking of power-hitting guys at the top of the order, right? That drive-in runs and score runs. They haven't done that. Bryce has done that. Bryce Harper hasn't done that. Looking around, Juan Soto hasn't done that. Granted, injuries have been a part of that, too, for Juan Soto. The Dodgers, I mean, Mookie's had a weird couple of years. Freddie's had a weird year. Corbin Carroll, he's had injuries. Bryce Terang, it is still going to go down in history as one of the all-time mistakes by Major League Baseball and everybody affiliated with All-Star voting that he wasn't an All-Star. One of the biggest mistakes ever, because he's going to be first-team All-MLB once again. I know MLB is trying to make the end-of-season awards a thing with these first-team and second-team All-MLB, just like you'd see All-NBA, all, you know, first-team All-Pro in the NFL, college All-Americans, that sort of thing. They're trying to make their own version of it, which is fine. I'm good with that. But you can't be back-to-back first-team second base and not be an All-Star, which is what he's on pace to do right now. He is starting to reach superstardom. It has been fun to watch. His fourth homer of the month, He is so quietly this month hitting 309 with a 911 OPS here in July. And it's the quietest. Yeah, I just did my job. It is so impressive to watch Bryce Terang hit right now, the new guy that he has become. So in seven games, we'll give you his last 162 games because, I mean, the last season of baseball, he has been arguably one of the most valuable infielders in the game. That's awesome. He is certainly an easy candidate for who's hot. It's brought to you by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Living Wisconsin means your heating and cooling systems work overtime. Give them the care they deserve with Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical's elite comfort maintenance plan. You can get repair discounts, priority customer service, and more if you go to Sider.com, S-E-I-D-E-R.com, to inquire today. A couple of texts that had rolled in here, and we'll address Shane Drowin as well coming up in the next segment and talking about the pitching staff. Alex from Oshkosh, a late night dub will give me good dreams tonight. Hopefully we don't trade Made for Skubal. Made is not going anywhere, guys. I promise you that. In case you missed it, Jesus Made went 5-for-5 with 7 runs batted in and a grand slam and 2 homers down in Biloxi. It's pretty impressive. Blake Burke also hit his 30th homer of the year. Previous guest on Brewers Weekly. You can scroll back up into April in your feeds to find that one. Jeff from Elkhorn, nice win tonight. Good pitching by all four hurlers. It's huge weekend for the Brewers. Need to take care of the Angels, but more importantly, it's time to go for it. And all prospects pan out. It's time to roll the dice and go for it. I made my take on the trade deadline in yesterday's Brewers Weekly. We'll rehash some of those takes and also talk Shane Drowin because he deserves some love with a quality start today. Rolling on with Brewers extra innings after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers win 6-2. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Some folks out west chiming in as well, and over in the YouTube live chat as well. Let's talk about Shane Drowin, man, because, look, I did a little bit of a heat check and a little bit of a reminder when I posted my teaser video from a podcast I did the day after the trade when they sent Caleb Durbin to the Red Sox. Brewers acquired the three that would they. We all know the story now, and hey, it's working out a lot better now for the Red Sox. Like, we all knew Caleb Durbin was going to turn it on. It's working a lot better now for the Red Sox. They did go final against the Dodgers 9-4. But Drowin was the piece that no one was really paying a lot of attention to. Hamilton, we knew, was a utility infielder, and he had a rough day today, unfortunately. But then Kyle Harrison was obviously a big part of the headline as a post-hype sleeper. Shane Drowin was kind of like, oh, yeah, and there's Shane Drowin. You know, realistically, on the Red Sox depth chart, as we can see now, I mean, think of all the guys that they've traded the last couple of months between now Connelly Early going to the Nationals in the Curtis Meade deal. They obviously had called up Peyton Tolley last year. Jake Bennett is up now. He was also in a Nationals trade a year ago. Patrick Sandoval is healthy again. They acquired Ranger Suarez. They've got even guys on the IL. Crochet still on the IL. Tanner Houck's on the IL with Tommy John surgery from last year still. I mean, Johan Oviedo, who they acquired from the Pirates, he hasn't thrown a pitch for them in the regular season. So the kudos to the Red Sox for thinking they had enough depth to handle this. And Shane Drowin, man, like, I just say, hey, this is going to be the sneaky piece. This is going to be the guy that you're going to be going like, wow, where'd they get this guy? He's a rookie, 6-4, a 3.48 ERA, another quality start. Today for Drowin, it was quality start number 5. He threw more innings in July than anybody on the Brewers. And of those 5 quality starts, 4 of them have come here in July. Just consistency, man. It doesn't have to be flashy. Yeah, he gave up a homer. So what? The Angels were 0-for-1 with a runner in scoring position. He was just stress-free most of the day, aside from that long 5th inning. Got through 6, quality start, 7 punch, just 1 walk. Sign me up for that every single day of the week. And this was a good question here, asking about, this is from James in La Crosse, rank these pitchers from most likely to least likely to start a playoff game. Gasser, Henderson, Sproat, Drowin, / deadline acquisition. I made my case known in yesterday's Brewers Weekly. You can catch it in Brewers All Access or on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. I'd do it. I would go for Skubal. I think that the timing is right. The farm system is good to go. Believe in your system as much as you should, that you can reproduce and you can continue to develop at the minor league level. Now, as long as the price isn't ridiculous, you're going to overpay. All right, I saw a video today from a content creator that I really enjoy, and Lance Brozdowski, talking about why nobody should trade for Tarek Skubal, and it was a little clickbaity, and I just didn't enjoy it. Whereas every model is going to say not to trade for Tarek Skubal. Yeah, that's the point. You have to overpay to get something you want. The Tigers are going to make him available. It's a game of chicken right now, these next 48 hours. But to answer the question here from James, Sproat's at the bottom of that list. I don't even know if Sproat's going to be on the playoff roster, right? I don't even know if he's going to be in the bullpen, right? So he's at the bottom of the list right now. It's a performance-based business. Next on that list, I'd probably put Gasser as a start. I think Gasser's definitely available in the bullpen, assuming they don't add another lefty, or unless they go get Brooks Raley or they go get Luke Weaver or something like that. Maybe you don't even have a need for Robert Gasser, but I think Gasser's more likely to appear out of a bullpen in the postseason than a start. Next on that list, I've got Drouin, because as consistent as he's been, it's another thing. It's like, I actually might like him even more in the bullpen than Gasser, given in the postseason, in the DS, you only need three starters. And in the CS, you'll need four, but you can be short with that fourth starter with the bullpen because he's only going to make one start. So that's something to keep think of. Then I've got Henderson as my second most likely, and the most likely is deadline acquisition, because I think the Brewers should go for Tarek Skubal. I really do. I think that they have the prospect capital to do it. It simultaneously keeps him away from the Dodgers and the Cubs and the teams that are going to be racing you. And I think you can absorb it. You're not giving up a day. We'll see what the Tigers are really asking for. It might cost Henderson. I mean, his name keeps popping up, which I don't know if the Brewers would do that, given he's been, like I just said, he's probably their second ranked. If they don't make a deadline acquisition that moves the needle, he's probably starting a playoff game. Now, there are other starters you can inquire about and look around for, but 48 hours to figure out who is actually going to be available. So do you buy it? I mean, I want to buy him. I want to get Tarek Skubal. I think it'd be super fun. Relive 2008, baby. And go further than that 2008 team, of course. Buy or sell. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you. WendorfTeam.kw.com. Larry from Bayview, after being very disappointed in the way they played in San Francisco, I was very happy with the at-bats they took today. They looked like they wanted to play today. Yeah, I mean, I thought there was some bad luck. There was a lot of hard-hit balls. Something about Angel Stadium, too, and this is chimed in from Kevin. Was at the game today. Have no idea how Terang hit that ball out. Yelich hit the ball hard twice today, but I still think it's time for him to flip with Bowers. Bowers has earned it. Raleigh's down to hitting six with the Mariners. Yelly can bat fifth for the crew. I don't disagree with you, Kevin. I said that in yesterday's Brewers Weekly, too. Unfortunately, it's probably going to have to come from Yelly. I don't know why the Brewers haven't done it yet. But on the Terang ball, and I know, Kevin, you were at the game tonight, so you can vouch for this, and the fact that there's a marine layer that comes in. It's heavy air. You're at sea level. You're just a little bit inland enough, you know, there in Anaheim, that the air gets a little heavier at night. And ball dies in center field in Anaheim. I've been going to that ballpark since I was, you know, 12 years old. It's a great ballpark. I think it's solid. You know, underneath, a little leaves to be desired, but once you're inside the bowl, it's nice to look at. And you got Disneyland across the street, so everybody loves that. Let's talk a little bit more about what the Brewers are looking ahead for here, because tomorrow the Brewers will hand the ball to Robert Gasser and then Jacob Mizorowski. So good things on the way, and Kyle Harrison on the way back. I still haven't mentioned what the reinforcements have been. So we'll talk a little more pitching on the other side of the break on 620 WTMJ. This one may be chuckle on the text line. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. We're only going for another 20 minutes or so, though. Skubal wants to go to LA. He doesn't have that dog in him. I disagree, but it made me chuckle. Skubal's been in postseason plenty. I mean, especially with the Tigers couldn't hit in that ALDS a couple years ago against the Guardians, where Tarek almost grabbed a bat, it felt like, before Lane Thomas hit that grand slam against him in Game 5. I mean, shades of Shane Victorino, if you will. But I'm pulling up his postseason stats right now. In his postseason career for Tarek Skubal, 39 2/3 innings pitched, 6 starts, a 2.04 ERA, 9 runs allowed. Mind you, 4 of them on one swing in Game 5 of the ALDS against Cleveland, in which he made 2 starts. 56 strikeouts in those 39 and two-thirds innings and just six walks. Let me say that one more time. 56 strikeouts, six walks. A fielding independent pitching of 1.91, a whip of 0.731. He's got that dog in him. I promise you that. Yeah, I want him. This one, the Brewers, is it a realistic target to get Tarek Skubal? I think it is. Because, again, are the Brewers okay with getting out of their comfort zone, maybe give a little more on the value? And we talk about all these models that the Brewers have to do and have to, you know, put it through so much of the system to say, like, could this work? Can we get a trade that says we're okay with giving up this much past the model tells us to do? And the other reason, too, and maybe people are thinking, oh, well, the Brewers are right there with the Dodgers to catch him for the one seed. Well, what did the one seed do for you last year? All you really care about is the bye, okay? That's the number one thing. Get the bye. Number two, the Dodgers are going to get better. The Dodgers are down by one run today and decided to punt the game because they can't. They had Jake Irvin, who's back from the KBO, pitch the rest of the game. He got shelled. 9-4 was the final. But again, Glasnow is going to be back, okay? Otani will be back. Snell will be back. And then they get to move Roki into the bullpen again, just like last year. I think that the way that the Dodgers get to roll is that they get the coast, and that's what the Brewers are trying to adapt to and get some depth in their rotation. So some good news today. DL Hall, he is back, active. There's multiple lefties in the bullpen. Hallelujah. The Brewers have a way to get a couple of southpaws into the game. So DL Hall active from his pec strain. Tom Pannone was DFA'd in order to make room for him. On another note, yesterday, Kyle Harrison worked into the sixth inning, 5 2/3, with the high A timber rattlers. And he is expected back next week on the homestand, perhaps against Pittsburgh. You know, if you count out the days, he'll probably go on Wednesday. But then there would also need to be a roster move for him to come back. Something to monitor there. Then, you know, you look at this rotation. If Harrison's coming back after the trade deadline, and if you do make a trade, something's got to give. Someone's moving. Someone's leaving. So that's where the Brewers are currently offering in their shopping basket right now. So Kyle Harrison's back next week. That's great news. We'll see what happens at the trade deadline. I gave you some other targets that aren't named Tarek Skubal in yesterday's postgame show or yesterday's podcast as well. I think to me, the last thing I'm monitoring for this team, there really isn't that many bats available, especially now that the Twins saying they're buying. Ryan Jeffers is not going to get moved. So now everybody that needs a catcher is shifting to Hunter Goodman. The Brewers aren't going to be able to go get Hunter Goodman with 3 years of control, or will they? Now, that would be a shocking move, given they already have William Contreras, and William hasn't been playing great lately either. But I think that the Brewers' offense, as frustrating as it feels lately, it's like, oh my gosh, the offense, what? They're still averaging almost 5 runs a game here since the All-Star break, and they're 9-4, right? I know Wednesday in San Francisco was frustrating. They're 9-4 in the second half, guys. They have a 4.75 runs per game average. Like, hey, they're doing fine. They're doing fine. If this is the worst it can be, right? Oh my gosh, their offense is so bad. What's their record? They're 9-4. What are they averaging per game? Almost 5 runs per game. Are they hitting homers? Yeah, Jake Bowers and Bryce Turang are leading the team in home runs right now. What about Christian Yelich, Jackson Chourio? Nah, they'll get going eventually. Imagine when they do. That's why I feel this way. You've got 2 months to get them right. August is the dog days. Survive August. You get that little twinge of fall in the air in September. You get a little bit of that second wind, and then the postseason, a whole new animal. And who knows? Maybe you get that second wind early if you make a trade deadline, make a big splash. That would be fun. Let's give out a player of the game, shall we? For me, it's got to be Jake, who rakes a 3-run homer. Maybe Bryce on base 3 times, including 2 walks and a homer. Ah, Jake, who rakes. MLB leading 8th 3-run homer this season. Yeah, it's like a Willie Adames thing right all over again. Jake's my player of the game. It's brought to you by International Autos Group. Just like the game's MVP, you can drive into the summer in style and save up to $15,000 on select in-stock models. Visit IAMilwaukee.com. International Autos, where ordinary needs to be extraordinary. We'll hear from Murph. We'll get some highlights as the Brewers get the dub. 6-2 over the Angels on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Brewers win. We're all in a good mood. Waking up happy. This is a good text from Colin in Delafield. Let's just get Mize. Is he not as good? I think he's a great option. But do you want the big kahuna? Or do you want the guy that might have a lower body issue? Now, you may hear that and say, well, what about Scooble's elbow? And that's a fair point. I think that Mize won't get moved until Scooble gets moved. Right? There's dominoes to this. Scooble needs to go first to kind of set the price. And then everyone reacts. Like, a low-level prospect for Dean Kramer was just traded today. Now, Dean Kramer is not on the same level as those guys, but everyone's playing a game of chicken right now to decide who wants what. Nate, via L.A., attended the game in San Francisco on Wednesday. Not fun. Drove down to L.A. to watch the Dodgers play Boston, fully decked out in Brewer gear. Appreciate that. Brewers win tonight, though a bit ugly. It was very important, and will attend in Anaheim tomorrow. Looking for the crew to win the series. Appreciate the support there, Nate. And Pat Murphy understands that, yes, it was a win, but the always perfectionist Pat Murphy has a little bit more to say about today's win, 6-2. Here's the skipper in his post-game press conference.
Drone. He battled through the one long inning, but got through six again.
He was fantastic, and he was in control. This is a tough lineup for him to navigate with all the righties, and he did a great job. And this kid has been, I don't know how many in a row, but this is probably six or seven in a row that he's been in the sixth. And, yeah, he kept us in every game he's pitched. It's great.
You kind of talked before the game, but with all the movement around him in the rotation and Harrison down, how do you assign a value to, like, just the length he's given you?
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. Like I said, in the month of July, there's no bigger part of our team than Shane. He was fantastic. He's been fantastic every time out, and guys love him and trust him, and he did the same thing out there tonight.
One big inning was all you needed tonight. You got the five there. Tell me about what you saw.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't swing the bat well with runners in scoring position. We didn't have tremendous at-bats all night long, but we did some good things, and we had some big swings at the right time, but we did get a lot of runners on. We just didn't do a great job of getting them in enough, you know, so we didn't have to bring in some of our leverage guys.
Murph, did you like some of the loud contact today from the guys?
Yeah.
Yelly had some good swings.
Yelly had three hard contacts, you know. Mitchell was outstanding. Bowers. Pratt had good at-bats, Terang, of course, so those contributors are, you know, Contreras had three good at-bats. That's what you're looking for, but we had some breaks in there where guys didn't have that, and that stands out sometimes when you don't hit a lot of home runs.
You got Bryce with the two-run homer, 68 RBI from the leadoff man. What does it do for your lineup specifically when you have a leadoff guy that drives in runs?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't led off all year, but he's let off some, but he's just been great. He's just coming into his own. He's been better every year. You know, this is year three, and you know these guys can tell you that see him every day. He's just better and better every year, and taking his walks this year, and still a premium defender. You know, we're lucky we have a high end player there that can play with anybody.
That's Bryce Terang. He is certainly a high end player. You know, the Brewers, they get the win. You heard Murph talk about what went wrong with the offense tonight. You know, he gives it to you straight, win or lose. Around here, that's something old-fashioned roofing believes in too. Veteran-owned, Wisconsin-built. It's where handshake still matters. Pat Murphy's post-game press conference is presented by old-fashioned roofing. All right, highlights, they're coming up next as the Brewers win on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
Brewers and Angels, first of three at the Big A Angel Stadium. Shane Drouin getting the ball for the crew up against Ryan Johnson to start for the Angels. Brewers got a man on second in the first, but failed to get him home after Churio Yelich and Contreras retired. They had nearly had the same fate in the second. first and second, nobody out. All of a sudden, there were two outs for Cooper Pratt.
Quickly, it's going to drop in from the balls at one strike. The pitch, and Pratt, a liner into left. This is dropping quickly. It's going to drop in from the left fielder, Siri. Bauer is around third. He will score. Siri then misplayed the ball, but it didn't get far enough away from him to score another runner. Mitchell will stop at third, and chugging into second is Cooper Pratt. The Brewers take a 1-0 lead.
That will be all they get in the second, but their offense will get going in just a little bit. Meanwhile, Shane Drouin started 9-up, 9-down, gave up a couple base runners in the fourth, but got a key 5-3 double play to end the frame. Then it was time for the top of the order, a third time through against Ryan Johnson. After a leadoff walk to Cooper Pratt, all great rallies start with a leadoff walk. Bryce Terang, who should have been an all-star, sending it out to dead center.
There goes the runner. Pitch is swung on and drilled out to center. Trout drifting back. Trout at the track, at the wall. It is gone. Bryce Terang, a two-run shot, and the Brewers lead it 3-0. Boy, the Brewers have hit so many balls hard tonight. That one kept carrying. Trout got to the wall and ran out of room. And Bryce with his 16th of the season, and it's a big one here at the Big A.
How about it for Terang? They weren't done in the inning. They get two men aboard. Pitching change. They go to Fermin out of the pen. You hang it. He bangs it. Jake Bowers. Listen to the crowd roar into the pop on
this one. And a high fly ball. Deep right field. This one's way back. Bye-bye baseball. Jake Bowers goes big fly at the Big A. A three-run shot. And the Brewers have broken it open in the fifth. They lead it 6-0.
Now, in the bottom of the fifth, the Angels would avoid the shutdown inning with a homer of their own, a two-run shot from Guzman. That made it 6-2, and it would hold that way for a while. The Brewers would go scoreless in the sixth. Shane Drouin returned, going for a quality start for the fifth time this year.
2-2, and he got it looking with a beautiful slider. Soler strikes out looking. Seven strikeouts tonight for Drouin. And for the fifth consecutive game, he's gotten himself through six innings.
He's been phenomenal lately for the crew. Well, all that was left is to get it to the finish line. Grant Anderson was scoreless in the seventh into the eighth. Then Abdi Uribe got Trout to strike out to end the eighth inning. And Trevor McGill, back near his hometown, he grew up in Southern California, going for the final out.
0-2, swing and a miss. He got him with a curveball, and this ball game is over. The Brewers take care of business in game one in Anaheim, and they win it 6-2 over the Angels. Win number 68 on the season for the crew.
Right back to 27 games above 500. Let's preview tomorrow and say goodnight. It's late. Let's go to bed, everybody, right here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. Last couple minutes. Text here at the last second. I'll address it again. I'll say it till I'm blue in the face on this text. And I've said it a few times this week. Sorry if you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. The question is, but we need a hitter. I understand everybody wants a hitter. Everybody in baseball wants a hitter, right? Two things. Where is that hitter going to play? Right? That means someone's going to lose points on me. If you say third base, all right, tell me right now, who is a third baseman that you want over Joey Ortiz and or David Hamilton right now that is available? Don't say Gino Suarez. Don't want him. Don't say Arenado. He's not available. Don't say Isak Paredes. Not available. Astros are in the playoff hunt. That's what I'm saying. It is going to be so underwhelming on the hitter side at this trade deadline. It would have to be something completely out of left field if the Brewers get a hitter to help out this team. But tomorrow, same time, same place, 8:38 first pitch. On Deck Show, Boat by Menards begins at 8 o'clock Central Time. I will be with you for the postgame show, both network and WTMJ postgame tomorrow. Robert Gasser takes the mound for the crew, going up against Jose Soriano. And then Sunday, 2:15 first pitch. We'll have pregame starting at 1 with Brewers warm-up. The Miz, on a hot day in Southern California, gets the ball. He'll be going against Walbert Urania on the other side for the Angels. Again, tomorrow is the same time, 8:38. And then Sunday is 2:15. And then they come home for the Pittsburgh Pirates. A four-game set coming up this week against Pittsburgh, and plenty to look forward to once we get the probables in that contest. So the Brewers will go to bed tonight up 6.5 games on the Chicago Cubs. So rest easy. We play later today. Our producer has been Matt Yazel. I'm Dominic Catronio. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and keep on swinging.